So I'm continuing my series in the book of Colossians, and we come to the end of the first chapter of Colossians, and Paul talks about suffering. One of my favorite quotes of C.S. Lewis is, "God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our consciences, but He shouts to us in our pain." How many of you have experienced that in your life? This idea that God has given us pleasures in this life, and He's whispering, "I love you. I care for you." Everybody hears it. We're all created in the image of God. And God has given each one of us a conscience. So He speaks to us. We know by nature, because of the image of God within us, even though it's broken, what is right and what is wrong. So we're without excuse. But this whole idea of how God speaks so loudly to us in our pain is something that we're going to talk about today. 3 weeks ago today, I fractured my tailbone. Yeah. After church, I took a walk around Lake Jay with my wife, and they had drained the lake. So there's this whole shore that was just full of mud. And I saw some guy trying to get something out of the water. So me being me, I said, "Could I give you a hand with that?" And he's like, "Wow, that'd be great. This is really too heavy for me." So I got down there, and I lifted it up. And within about 5 seconds, I slipped and I fell backward on my tailbone on a rock. And I heard a crack, like a whip, right up into my ears, and immediate pain. And I'm like, okay. So I walk over to my wife, who's walking around the lake, and the first thing that comes out of my mouth, I said, "Do you know that expression? No good deed goes unpunished." She's like, "What are you talking about?" Well, let me say, that's not very good theology. Because if that's my theology, I'm never going to help anyone ever again. Why? Because I want to avoid suffering. I want to avoid pain. Now, I am getting older. I just had my 56th birthday. So my wife says to me, "You've got to understand how you can help people." Right? You're not 26 anymore. Okay, I get that. That's beautiful. But here's something that I've learned in the last 3 weeks through that pain. Every time I sit down, every time I lay down, I have to lay down in certain ways and to avoid that pain. And the Lord is speaking to me in my pain. One is like, your theology is wrong if you say, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. That's crazy. Why would you even say that? Second of all, was like that rock was there for a purpose, and God sovereignly knew that that was there. I mean, I could have fallen with my butt on the soft mud, and it would have been a whole different story. But no, right there where I fell was a big old rock, and I have to believe then that God is in that somehow, that He's working all of those things for my good and for His glory. Another thing is like, a pastor who's never experienced pain, emotional, physical, spiritual pain, you don't want him as your pastor. He's not going to be able to enter into your experience. He's not going to be able to speak from the well of grace that comes when you experience pain. There's no pain that is ever lost in the kingdom. In one place, one of the authors of Scripture, I think it's Paul, says, it's like, you know why some pain enters into your life? So that you can experience God's grace. And then you can encourage others with that same encouragement that you yourself received from the Spirit. There's nothing lost in our pain. It is all for God's glory, and it is for our good. So today we're going to look at some suffering in the life of Paul. And we're going to try to understand how that fits with the suffering of Jesus, but also with our suffering. So let's stand as we read this scripture, beginning in verse 24 of Colossians, where the apostle is writing to the church at Colossae, and he says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you. To make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great amongst the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Have you ever puzzled over this particular verse, this first one that we read, where Paul is saying, like, I'm suffering and I'm filling up that which is lacking in the suffering of Christ? It's a little confusing, wouldn't you agree? Jesus Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. God incarnate experienced unspeakable suffering. If any of you have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, you just want to avert your eyes at some points where Christ in that film, as portrayed there, is being ripped open by the whips. It is unspeakable suffering that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through and died so that he could save us, that he could redeem us. Okay, but Paul is not talking about that suffering unto salvation. Okay? There is nothing lacking in what Jesus Christ did for you at Golgotha. Do you believe that? He paid the full price. There was nothing else to be paid. He ransomed us, the perfect Lamb of God. And through faith in him, we have new life. That is that suffering. And Jesus knew that he was going to suffer. He told his disciples in his ministry, the Son of Man, the Messiah, I must suffer and I will be put to death by the leaders of Israel. But on the third day I shall rise again. Luke 9. The disciples didn't understand that. They had no paradigm to process that. And it wasn't until later when it all happened that they realized Jesus said that. He told us, he warned us that the Son of Man must suffer many things. So Paul is talking about a different type of suffering when he says, I'm filling up the suffering of Christ. Two things. You will recall that when Saul was on his errand to round up the Christians in Damascus and throw them in jail, that he had to come to Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That's a confusing statement, isn't it? Not if you understand that persecution and suffering and pain that Jesus Christ is identifying with you when you experience that. When the church is persecuted, Christ is being persecuted. You understand the connection there? Paul can say then that we are the body of Christ, but Christ is the head. When the body is suffering, the head knows it and the head feels it. So when Jesus Christ is saying, why are you persecuting me, Saul? He's saying, I am identifying with all these Christians that you have in your head to round up and throw in jail and to put to death. And it's going to stop now. Well, he's blinded. He goes into Damascus, and one of the saints there, Ananias, gets a vision, and the Holy Spirit, Christ, speaks to him and says, I want you to go and pray for Saul. And he's like, what? That's crazy. I heard he is here with authority to round up people like me and throw us in jail. Don't worry, the Holy Spirit said to Ananias. I have a plan for Saul, and I will bring him to the nations, but I will show him how much he must suffer in order to do that. For those of you who are looking for a reference to that, that's Acts 9, verse 16. Paul got a sure-fired, ironclad, guaranteed assurance that he was going to experience suffering, and my, did he ever. You know that man? He was hounded, and he was shipwrecked several times. He received the lashings of whips a number of times. How many times was that guy in jail? He said, we suffered deprivation, we suffered hunger, we suffered nakedness over and over and over again. We suffered that. And he's writing about it here. To what end? That I might share the good news of the gospel with the Gentiles. Do you understand what's going on here? It is hard for the missionary effort of the church to go to this unreached people group, but God assigns Paul to do that, despite the hardships. I mean, the Roman government was dead set against this sect and these Christians promoting their religion. And they soon got to persecuting the entire church, and not just Paul. But Paul was like at the forefront of that. He was at the cutting edge, if you will. And he said, and I'm suffering all these things because in the life of the church, there is a cup, so to speak, of suffering that is given to the church and to each one of us. And until it's filled, we're not done our job. Wouldn't it be great if we could just share the gospel in places that were just super easy all the time? Never involved any suffering, never involved any hardship. It was all easy peasy, low-hanging fruit. I dare say that there are some people in this church right now who think to themselves, yeah, that's the way it should be. We're not sending missionaries to go die in a place like Indonesia or Iran or Iraq. Have you ever thought to yourself when a missionary couple was going to a hard place, they shouldn't do that, that's too dangerous? Or if you have kids that are thinking about doing that, you're not taking my grandkids over there. When you think thoughts like that, those are selfish thoughts. They're just thinking about you. You're not thinking about the lost, the people that are dying without hearing the message. My brothers and sisters, there are people that are suffering for the sake of the gospel right now. And we have been praying for them for years. And when our brother Andrew Brunson found himself in a very painful and suffering place in jail in Turkey because he was taking the gospel to a country that is dead set against that idea, in other words, going to the hard places, he writes in his book that he experienced unspeakable suffering. He despaired of life, and he even despaired of God's love for him. He wondered, does God even love me? Has God abandoned me? I don't know if you've ever felt like you've been in that place where you wonder if God loves you, if God is punishing you, if God has abandoned you. The promise is for each and every one of us. Christ suffered, Paul suffered, and we must suffer for the sake of the gospel, that Christ would be perfected in us. As I said, you know, when things are great, you know, he whispers to us in our pleasures and he speaks to us in our conscience, but he yells to us in our pain. There's hardly a better way to get our attention than that God brings pain in our life. Here's a bold prayer to pray. Would you pray this prayer with me this week? Lord, I invite you to bring suffering into my life. Lord, I welcome pain. I want you to give me the experience of the fellowship and partaking of your suffering, because I want to proclaim you in this world, and I want less of me, and I want more of you. This is not your best life now scenario, my brothers and sisters. This is the path of suffering for the sake of the gospel. This is taking the words of Jesus seriously when he says, take up your cross and follow me. Because Paul's great joy was to present these people mature in Christ. And I dare say that there's hardly a better way for us to experience maturity in our Christian walk than to experience pain. Are you experiencing pain and suffering in your life right now? I challenge you to say, Lord, thank you. You are the sovereign Lord. I welcome that. When you see pain in the lives of your children and your grandkids and the people that you love, that's a harder prayer to pray. But God is taking you through a spiritual journey of praying for others when they can't pray for themselves. And I challenge you to receive the mantle of suffering and persecution and pain that Christ is laying upon you and is laying upon our church, to do the hard things, to truly engage in the rescue plan of Jesus, that he came and that he gave himself, but that it is our job in our generation to take Christ to our family and to our neighborhood and to this county and to this nation and to this world. And what a great cost that may cost us. But never mind. We want to pay the price so that we might be there that one day around the table when we're celebrating the feast of the Lamb and everyone is present, because we were faithful and because, more importantly, Christ was faithful. As we partake in this meal today, understand that Christ gave himself for you, for the church. This wine represents his blood poured out for you. This bread represents his body broken for you. He invites us into a deeper understanding of the mystery that Paul wrote about, of the gospel to the nations. This is a mystery, how we are united with Christ in a deep and spiritual way. Welcome the Spirit's move in your heart as you partake of these elements.